Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 15, Description of the Kingdom of God, Text Number 32. Munaya Uchu Kovami Haitya Bhagavat Paricharya Yochai. Tadarminam Nivasatam Vishamasvabhava. Asmin prashanta purushe gata vigrahe vam. Kovatma vat kuhakayo parishan kaniya. Munaya uchu. Haitya Bhagavat Paricharya Yochai. Tadarminam Nivasatam Vishamasvabhava. Tasmin Prashanta Purushe Gata Vigrahe Vam. Mavat kuhakayo parishan kaniya. I'll go straight to the translation. The time's a bit short today. The sages said, "Who are these two persons who have developed such a discordant mentality, even though they are posted in the service of the Lord in the highest position and are expected to have developed the same qualities as the Lord? How are these two persons living in Vaikuntha? Where is the possibility of an enemy's coming into this kingdom of God? The Supreme Personality of Godhead has no enemy. Who could be envious of Him? Probably these two persons are imposters, therefore they suspect others to be like themselves." Purport: the difference between the inhabitants of a Vaikuntha planet and those of a material planet is that in Vaikuntha all the residents engage in the service of the Lord Himself and are equipped with all His good qualities. It has been analyzed by great personalities that when a conditioned soul is liberated and becomes a devotee, about 79% of all the good qualities of the Lord develop in his person. Therefore, in the Vaikuntha world, there's no question of enmity between the Lord and the residents. Here in this material world, the citizens may be inimical to the chief executives or heads of state, but in Vaikuntha, there is no such mentality. One is not allowed to enter Vaikuntha unless he has completely developed the good qualities. The basic principle of goodness is to accept subordination to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The sages therefore were surprised to see that the two doormen who checked them from entering the palace were not exactly like the residents of Vaikuntha Loka. It may be said that a doorman's duty is to determine who should be allowed to enter the palace and who should not. But that is not relevant in this matter because no one is allowed to enter the Vaikuntha planets unless he has developed 100% his mentality of devotional service to the Supreme Lord. No enemy of the Lord can enter Vaikuntha Loka. The Kumaras concluded that the only reason for the doormen's checking them was that the doormen themselves were imposters. In the translation, the sages said, "Who are these two persons who have developed such a discordant mentality, even though they are posted in the service of the Lord in the highest position and are expected to have developed the same qualities as the Lord? How are these two persons living in Vaikuntha? Where is the possibility of an enemy's coming into this kingdom of God? The Supreme Personality of Godhead has no enemy. Who could be envious of Him? Probably these two persons are imposters. Therefore, they suspect others to be like themselves." So, we see the reasons here why the sages cursed the doorkeepers because they saw that their consciousness was not in accordance with the consciousness of the inhabitants of Vaikuntha. Inhabitants of Vaikuntha are all fully absorbed in devotional service to the Lord. They have no feelings of enviousness or enmity towards one another. They have very deep and loving relationships with one another. Their activities are very harmonious because, first and foremost, everyone is focused on the Lord and serving the Lord. Prabhupada gave the example. If you have a compass and you draw a circle on paper, and using the same central point, you draw more circles, so they'll be concentric, the effect will be very harmonious. Or similarly, if you throw a stone in the water, you see how the concentric circles ripple out. If you would keep throwing stones in the same point, the effect would be harmonious. But if you take the compass, you put different points and make circles around them, then this creates a very discordant picture. Or similarly, if you throw many stones in different places in the water, then all the circles that they create overlap with one another and it's discordant. So that is the nature of life in the material world, because everyone is self-centered, everyone is looking after their own interests, and consequently there is constant conflict and disharmony, misunderstanding amongst persons. Therefore we also have so many different countries and conflicts between those countries. But in spiritual life there is common interest to serve Krishna and cooperation to help one another, encourage one another in the service of Krishna. And this creates harmony, as Prabhupada said. This is a real United Nations. United Nations was created when? 1950 something? And 45. Was it after the war? Anyhow. So they've been trying to, you know, reach agreement, but on so many topics there is disagreement because of self-interest of the various parties involved. But when Prabhupada said real United Nations, he meant that Krishna is in the center, doesn't matter what one's bodily identity is, which country he comes from. Everyone sees himself as spirit soul with common interest to cooperate together to serve Krishna and to spread Krishna consciousness. So this is the Vaikuntha mentality. Prabhupada calls his spiritual master a Vaikuntha man. A person always absorbed in Krishna consciousness and emanating Krishna consciousness and concerned to give Krishna consciousness to others. When Prabhupada first met Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he had some kind of discussion with him in which Prabhupada was putting forward Gandhi's views and saying that he felt that India should first get independence from British rule, then they could think about spreading the message of Bhagavad Gita, preaching Krishna consciousness. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati refuted that argument, saying that, you know, governments come and go in the material world, and There's not such a great difference between one government and another if the people are in material consciousness. So we cannot wait to spread Krishna consciousness for some change of government. Krishna consciousness is the most urgent thing that has to be given to people so that they can, you know, be in proper shape. Just like, say, your back is out of shape and it gives you a lot of pain, but then the chiropractor comes and he puts it into shape, aligns everything properly. So this is a condition in the material world. You're badly out of shape, disjointed. And consequently, the inhabitants of the material world, they're constantly feeling pain and disturbance and disunity, disharmony. But by aligning everything properly and everyone properly in the devotional service of the Lord, then we can foster a Vaikuntha mood, a mood of surrender to Krishna and mood of service to Krishna and to the Vaishnava devotees of the Lord. And in this way, create a harmonious and happy environment. We may not be able to create exactly the same as the spiritual world, because after all, here in the material world, everyone has got a material body and they're subjected to some degree to the miseries of material existence. But the more a person becomes Krishna conscious, the less he becomes disturbed by the miseries of material existence, and the more he becomes absorbed on the spiritual platform. So the Kumaras were coming to Vaikuntha for the first time, but they were great souls. They were spiritually advanced persons, and they had also heard a lot about Vaikuntha and about the Supreme Personality of God, which is what attracted them to go there. And naturally they were expecting that everyone there would be fully cooperating with one another and be very welcoming. This is what they expected. So they were very shocked at the first at the first stage that they were barred suddenly by these personalities. So here they're giving their conclusions or understanding of the consciousness of the of these particular personalities, that they're not actually suited to be living in Vaikuntha. They don't have the proper mentality. Their mentality resembles the mentality of people in the material world. So it's better they go there. That is an appropriate place for them. And they cursed the gatekeepers. Vishwanath Chakravarti, he is given another understanding. And there are many, levels of understanding of this particular lila. He said that the gatekeepers, they knew that the Lord likes to fight sometimes, but in Vaikuntha there's no one to fight with, and they were aspiring to somehow please the Lord and serve the Lord by giving battle to the Lord. So because of that aspiration, the Lord actually engineered this particular lila, caused the gatekeepers to bar the Kumaras from entering, and as a result they got cursed and had to go to the material world. And of course they were given the choice 7 times as devotees or 3 times as demons, and they chose 3 times as demons. One reason given for that is that they wanted to get back again to Vaikuntha as quickly as possible. But the other reason is that they were thereby able to give battle to the Lord. And the Lord arranged in such a way that they just didn't become small demons. They become such powerful demons that they could defeat the demigods. And only solution was for the Lord himself to come to defeat them. In one purport in the sixth canto, Prabhupada says that demigods are sakama devotees, devotees with material desires. And because of those material desires, they get some kind of reaction in the form of harassment from demons. It can't be taken as ordinary karma, because generally one should not consider that devotees are subjected to ordinary karma. But still, if devotees have material desires, they are going to have some kind of problems or difficulties arising in their lives. Even if they're practicing Krishna consciousness, still those material attachments and material desires will inevitably cause different kinds of problems and reactions. Devotee, of course, should take that as a test from Krishna. And other devotees, when they look at such devotees, they should also think this is Krishna's arrangement to test those devotees. They shouldn't think this is just ordinary karma. But anyway, due to material desire, Prabhupada said, the demigods, they get some harassment from demons. But the difference between demons and demigods is when demons are in difficulty, they think they can solve it all themselves by material means. But when devotees are in difficulty, then they approach the Lord, they pray to the Lord for intelligence, for protection. And of course, when the situation is very, very extreme, and such important personalities as demigods are involved and appealing to the Lord for help and protection, then oftentimes the Lord does come personally to help them and protect them. So this is certainly the case when Hiranyaksha or Hiranyakashipu caused such great disturbance within the universe. The demigods themselves, they couldn't solve the situation, and they didn't think that they would be able to just by their own abilities and intelligence. So they just surrendered to the Lord, and the Lord was, of course, pleased to come to protect them. He came as Brahadev to protect the Bhumi Devi, and he came as Narasimha Dev to defeat Hiranyakashipu. Of course, it wasn't only because of the demigods' difficulties. It was first and foremost, in fact, to protect Prahlad Maharaj, to show how the Lord protects his pure devotee in a most difficult situation. But he also came to protect the demigods, because Hiranyakashipu had usurped the throne of Indra. And at the same time, the Lord got opportunity to have good battle. These battles are so interesting and so glorious that they're broadcasted all over the universe. They're recorded in so many different Puranas, and they're heard and relished again and again and again by devotees. They're discussed, and in this way the devotees remember the Lord and develop their faith in the Lord by hearing how he came to defeat these great demons. Or Ramayana describes how Lord Ram defeated Ravana and Kumbhakarna. So these gatekeepers then, although from one angle of vision it may seem they were just in the wrong consciousness to be in Vaikuntha, from another position they're actually very special and exalted personalities who got the opportunity to provoke or inspire the appearance of the Lord in such wonderful features as Varahadev, Narasimhadev, Rama. Krishna, of course, also killed them as Shishupal and Dantavakra, although that, in terms of Krishna's Leela, those are relatively minor aspects of his Leela. But still it was a good, you know, good fight and interesting Leelas which are attractive to the devotees. So in this way, these gatekeepers rendered a wonderful service and were able to return to the spiritual world. They also appeared as Jagai and Madai in Chaitanya Leela. So that's also a very wonderful Leela, especially glorifying Lord Nityananda and his merciful nature to deliver even the most fallen. And of course, people in general are compared to Jagais and Madais in the present age of Kali. And therefore, if they want to be delivered, they have to pray for the mercy of Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya. But Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya are brimming over with mercy and distributing it freely to one and all, and giving the chance to all to get free of envious mentality, discordant mentality, and forgetfulness of Krishna. So, if we follow the instructions that the Lord gives, the sages give, Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, the great acharyas in our sampradaya, then we can also rectify this discordant mentality in which we have been living for so long. We can realign ourselves properly in the service of the Lord, and this will give us great relief from the distresses of material existence. It will give us a chance to taste a real joy and harmony, and also the hope to return eventually to the spiritual world and live there eternally. So, of course, the secret of success in this particular age is to chant Harinam Sankirtan as much as possible, Kirtaniya Sadahari, as Lord Chaitanya advised. We should always absorb ourselves in kirtan, sankirtan, congregational chanting of the holy names. And of course, to do that, he advises Trinadapi Sunichenatara Api Sahishnana Amanina Manadena. One should be more tolerant than a tree, more humble than the straw on the street, devoid of any sense of false prestige, and ready to offer all respects to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. So we should aspire to develop the proper mentality, the proper consciousness, because ultimately, spiritual life is a question of consciousness. Once I heard Prabhupada say that material means forgetfulness of Krishna, and spiritual means remembrance of Krishna. So even if we're in the material world, if we are absorbed in chanting the holy names and engaging in devotional service, hearing the scriptures, then we can be always mindful of Krishna, always remember Krishna and use our energy for his pleasure and satisfaction. And in that way, even in the material world, one is actually in Vaikuntha. He's on the spiritual platform. But if a person is in Vaikuntha and he develops the wrong kind of mentality, the discordant kind of mentality, then he's more or less in the material world, and that's what the sages are saying, that the consciousness of these persons is material, and therefore they should be in the material world, that's all. So by now we have enough experience of the difficulties of material existence, time to transform our consciousness and help others transform their consciousness. So therefore we should absorb ourselves fully in Krishna consciousness, and thus we can become spiritually strong. By following the instruction and helping one another to be Krishna conscious, And thus, cooperatively, we'll have more and more strength to distribute Krishna consciousness and bring in more and more people, give them shelter and protection within the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, which is, in that sense, therefore, non-different from Vaikuntha, from the spiritual world. This was Srila Prabhupada's vision, to transform the consciousness of people to Vaikuntha consciousness and give them chance to live in a mini Vaikuntha here, so as to prepare them for the Maha Vaikuntha, the eternal Maha Vaikuntha of the spiritual world. So, thank you, Hare Krishna. We'll finish now because, yeah, one or two questions or comments. Yes, please.
You mentioned in your class the example of putting Krishna in the center, throwing the stones in the same place, but sometimes it seems that even those who think that they're putting Krishna in the center appear to be putting their stones in different places, and there's some apparent differences in opinion and things like that. So why is that?
Well, it may be on one side that there's still some tinge of material desire. Devotees, we cannot expect that a devotee comes to ISKCON, he's transformed immediately into a pure, unalloyed devotee of the Lord. Although Prabhupada did sometimes say that all the devotees in ISKCON are pure devotees. They're pure devotees in the sense that they're dedicating themselves to follow the instructions of the pure devotees and instructions of the Lord. But still, you know, some material desires may be there, and this can cause disharmony, certainly. But even among devotees who are very serious and advanced, sometimes there may be some difference of opinion. Prabhupada said even amongst the acharyas there's sometimes difference of opinion in understanding particular points in the scriptures. But Krishna consciousness is many-faceted, and we have to allow for that diversity. But the stress ultimately has to be on unity in diversity. So there we have to be a little bit tolerant, and if we have differing opinions, not to become too fanatical about those differing opinions. So, in such cases, how to overcome if it does occur? Devotees need to gather together, to chant together, to hear together, to put aside sometime those differences and just have some close association on the spiritual platform. That will help them to overcome difficulties due to differences of opinion. And if devotees are sincere, they can surely find the ways to accommodate one another's differences, not to allow those to become, the situation to become so kind of exasperated? Huh? It's a different word, isn't it? What's the word? You know? Well, exaggerated, yeah. Exaggerated so that bad relations develop, and then that spills over onto junior devotees as well. So senior devotees have a responsibility, if they do have some difference of opinion, to try to look for the ways and means to overcome the differences, to harmonize their various opinions. And the best way to do that is to be together in kirtan and in hearing and discussing the scriptures together. Therefore, programs like this retreat is very valuable, to be able to associate together on a spiritual platform and discuss different aspects of Krishna consciousness. This brings devotees closer together and gives them spiritual strength and helps them to understand their common interests. I mean, we can always expect, due to the material world, there are going to be some kind of difference, but we have to try to minimize those as much as possible and harmonize our efforts as much as possible. Therefore, also, Prabhupada created the GBC as a kind of binding force. And if there would be differences, the GBC should try to solve those, keep the movement together rather than allowing it to split apart as happened in the Gaudiya Math. Okay, so I'll finish there. Thank you. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Gaura Premanandi.